This is Conor Lennon from UN News. The United Nations has been involved in the divided island of Cyprus for more than half a century, policing and monitoring a buffer zone between the Republic of Cyprus and the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus. The mission is headed up by Elizabeth Spehar, the Special Representative of the Secretary General for Cyprus, and is the first to have an all-women leadership team in charge of the mission, military forces and the police component. When Ms. Spehar came into our UN news studio shortly after briefing the Security Council on latest developments, I asked her to explain why the UN is still needed on the island.
The United Nations peacekeeping force in Cyprus, known as UNFACYP, has been in Cyprus for many years now. We were set up in 1964, basically to respond to a situation of conflict between two communities on the island, the Greek Cypriot community and the Turkish Cypriot community. We've been there now for a number of decades, and since then there has also been a de facto division of the island. And so since 1974, we are contending actually with the buffer zone that is separating the two parts of the island. So the mandate is basically to maintain calm and stability on the ground, to prevent a recurrence of fighting, to contribute to law and order, and also to promote a return to normal conditions.
And these are all situations which seem to be from another era. Many people go to Cyprus on holiday. Mm-hmm. They go to Turkey on holiday, the northern Cyprus. Why is this buffer zone still needed if the conflict has ended or is frozen?
Well, this is the point. There is thankfully no violent conflict in Cyprus due to the conflict, the original conflict, but it remains a divided island, and the conflict has not been resolved. So one can say that it remains generally peaceful, but there is not genuine peace. In fact, the capital city, Nicosia, is the last divided capital in Europe.
And why is it so intractable?
Well, I think one can look at a number of places around the world where issues tend not to be resolved. There are always many different reasons, but essentially, in order to resolve the conflict, we need to have an agreement among all the parties involved. And that involves negotiations to arrive at a solution where all are ready with political will and the readiness to compromise. And we have tried many times as UN to support such a negotiation process. Unfortunately, it has not come to fruition yet.
And the Secretary General himself met the leaders of the two communities in November of last year. Has any progress happened as a result of that meeting?
The Berlin meeting in the end of November of last year was quite important because it was the first time that the two leaders on Cyprus had met with the Secretary General since the last round of talks ended inconclusively in July of 2017 in Switzerland. And they were able very clearly to reconfirm the basis of what would be the solution based on what Security Council resolutions of the UN outline, and that is to have a federation that would be bi-communal and bi-zonal with political equality for both communities. They also reconfirmed that they wanted to get a deal done within a foreseeable horizon, and they reaffirmed the key elements that they would need to get there. So that was important.
There is a reform process on peacekeeping ongoing. It's called A4P, Action mm-hmm. for Peacekeeping, which has been one of the big focuses of the Secretary General. What impact has that had on you and your mission?
I think it's had a very important impact for our peacekeeping mission because all of the peacekeeping missions have been asked to look at the set of commitments that make up the Action for Peacekeeping agenda to see which of them they feel are important to pursue in order to become better peacekeeping missions, to become more effective, more efficient, and to better fulfill our mandate. So of the various points of the Action for Peacekeeping agenda, our peacekeeping mission, UNFACYP, chose the area of helping to advance political solutions, safety and security issues, and performance, so improving in all of those. for me, one of the most important things about Action for Peacekeeping is the fact that these are shared commitments. So in other words, more than 150 member states, the UN Secretariat and the peacekeeping missions on the ground have all agreed that in order to make peacekeeping fit for purpose in the 21st century and beyond, we all have to do our part.
Your mission is quite special in that aspect, in the fact that it's the first mission to not only have a female representative in yourself, also women leading both the uniformed components, military and police. Does that present specific opportunities within your mission?
I think definitely it's presented a lot of opportunities. So as you mentioned, we are the first peacekeeping mission that has had both simultaneously the head of the mission and the special representative of the Secretary General being a female, so myself, along with the head of the military component also being a woman, and the head of our police. And it's not often that you see women heading the what we call the uniformed components. This is something that happened in 2019. Then our head of police unfortunately had to move on, but we will soon have another replacement for her, who will be another female. And what I did find in the time that the three of us worked together is that in addition to, I think, doing very, very effective work on the ground, we were a good, I think we had a good demonstration effect. And it shows that women can take these leadership positions in rather non-traditional roles, that they can be respected by all and effective. And I think that for our Cypriot counterparts, it's also important for their own police services and military and so forth to see that, yes, this is actually becoming quite normal, that women not only are part of the uniformed services, but they can actually serve at the leadership level.
Here at headquarters, we often hear about the aspirations of the UN to involve women more in the peace process. How is your mission facilitating that in Cyprus?
Yeah. Well, certainly, as the UN does as a whole, we are very committed as missions on the ground, the peacekeeping mission and the good offices mission in Cyprus, to the Women, Peace and Security agenda. And that does not only mean how we operate as a mission, having women in senior leadership positions, and also making sure that we mainstream the role and women's concerns throughout our work. But we're also trying to make sure that women's voices are heard within the peace process, so that Cypriot women are meaningfully involved in the process. So there are two ways in which I think that's very important. One is to have more women involved in the formal track one negotiation process. There have been women, both Turkish Cypriot and Greek Cypriot women, involved in the negotiations in the past, although not at the top leadership positions. And secondly, to have women's civil society also more involved, lending their voice, making sure not only that women are involved, but that women's concerns and their needs in terms of the peace process and the outcome are duly reflected.
How do you see the situation in Cyprus evolving?
Well, our hope very much is that all of the parties will be ready to go back to the negotiating table in the near future. And certainly the UN is ready to play our part. We have actually two missions on the ground, and I'm involved with both. One is the peacekeeping mission, and the other is the good offices mission, which supports the actual peace negotiations. So we are very hopeful as UN that we will be able to, again, support the parties to start negotiating to conclude a successful settlement to the Cyprus issue.
And when you and your team interact with people on the ground, with Cypriots on both sides of the dividing line, what do they think?
Well, you know, we've actually conducted some polling on a fairly regular basis in Cyprus, and recent polling has confirmed what we've been seeing for a number of years, and that is that a majority of Cypriots, both Turkish Cypriots and Greek Cypriots, very much wished to see a solution and wished to see the island reunited. But unfortunately, with every passing year, we see that those who believe that it's still possible are fewer and fewer. So I think there's a need also to for the leadership to reassure the population that not only that this is still possible and that they will redouble their efforts to get to a solution, but also that it will be beneficial for all.